we're continuing on through the release booklet, and we've come to the section on the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is one of the central doctrines which separates the truth of the Scriptures from the professing Christian world known as mainstream Christianity or Orthodox Christianity, and is one of the things that separates the true church from all the other churches, because nearly every church which is of the world and in the world and part of the world or has been indoctrinated with some of the doctrines of the religions of the world believe in a Trinity. They believe that the Holy Spirit is a third person. And there are many places in the translation of the New Testament where it is improperly translated from the Greek, where it reads that the Holy Spirit is He instead of it. Turn there and let's read the statement on it. The Holy Spirit is not a person or a third member of a so-called Trinity. When you fully understand that, you will see that the Trinity goes back to the Babylonian mystery religions. And you need to get the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop. Now, you won't be able to buy this book in any ordinary bookstore. You're going to have to search for it. But you can find it. And that will show you how that all of the pagan religious practices were brought into what is called the Roman Catholic Church today, the Orthodox Church, and also much of the Protestant world. Though the Protestant world began to leave Catholicism with the Reformation, they never finished the process. So instead of coming out so they could become part of the true Church of God, they remained and kept Sunday and Easter and Christmas, and they retained the Trinitarian belief. So you need to get that book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop. Continuing on, the Holy Spirit is the power by which God the Father and God the Son accomplished their will. The impregnation of the Holy Spirit from the God the Father as a spiritual begettal is granted freely to every believer upon repentance of sins, baptism by immersion, which then is full water immersion, and the laying on of hands. This begettal of the Holy Spirit is the earnest and the assurance of the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is the power of God which makes each begotten child of God a partaker of the divine nature and imparts the ability to develop the love of God. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit imparts the power to each believer to live in accordance with God's will and to overcome the temptations of human nature, the world, and Satan. As the spiritually begotten believer seeks to serve and obey God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will lead him or her into all truth that is contained in the Word of God and is essential for salvation. Now, how does one get the Holy Spirit? Let's go to Acts 2 and verse 38. We'll also cover that when we come to repentance. Acts 2 and verse 38. This is very fundamental. This is a place that everyone has to begin. Everyone has to start at this point. That they have to do is the Apostle Peter said here on the day of Pentecost. And by the way, for an interesting study, if you wanted to study through the Scriptures on your own, you try and find one place in the Bible where it talks about Sunday as a day of worship on a weekly basis, and you won't find it. There is not one word concerning that. Neither will you find it concerning the holidays of this world. You will find that in every place that the Bible talks about the holidays of this world, they are condemned by God because they are pagan practices. And God will not give his glory to another. God will not give his glory or his way to pagan idolatrous religions. So there needs to be repentance. Repentance is right here in verse 37. Let's go back one verse, Acts 2 and verse 37. And when they were pricked in their hearts, you have to come to repentance, you see. And it has to be something that happens within you. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It is the power of God. And when you are baptized, this is the earnest of the Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. And you need to ask the question while we're turning here, if the Holy Spirit were a person, how could you possibly get the earnest of a person? Ephesians, the first chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 11. In whom, that is in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And that's why with the spiritual inheritance, you have to have an earnest of it. Predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And we need to understand that. That's very important. God is not going to work things out according to our will or our purpose or the purpose of any man. Because if that were so, then it would not be the purpose of God. That's why when men endeavor to do something for God and they do it their way, then they are not doing what God really wants. They may use the name of God. They may read some scriptures. They may attach the Bible to it, but it really is not the will of God. Now here is the will of God, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth, so you have to hear it. You have to understand it. You have to believe it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believe. Now notice what you have to do. You have to hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Then you have to believe in Christ. Have to believe in what he did, who he was, how he did it. You have to believe in God the Father who sent his son, because it says there that God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now then after that, then you are led to repentance, as we will see when we come to the section on repentance, and are baptized. Then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which God promised, which is the earnest. Now, earnest means down payment, the beginning part. The first that you receive, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now, what does it mean until the redemption of the purchased possession? When you repent, you have been redeemed, but you are not wholly redeemed until you are resurrected from the dead. Then you are given a body and a mind that is composed of spirit. And you then are the sons and daughters of God. Let's see how the Holy Spirit is to act in our lives. Let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter. This talks about a very important principle in how the Holy Spirit works in our lives and what it does for us, showing that it is not a person, but it is the power of God by begettal dwelling in you. And actually, what happens is, when a person receives the Holy Spirit unites with the spirit of their minds. And you then have been begotten by God the Father. And you are counted by God the Father as one of His children. Now, since the Holy Spirit is the earnest, it is leading us, it is guiding us, as we will find here. Let's begin here in verse 9. Romans 8 and verse 9. And it puts you in standing with God that is different than the people of the world. That doesn't make you better. That means that God has called you. That means that God is dealing with you and that now you are responsible to God. So if you have the Holy Spirit, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, that means give life to your mortal body, by his Spirit which is dwelling in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Because the Holy Spirit is that which gives us the power to overcome. Verse 14. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. Now, one thing we need to understand about the Holy Spirit, which is this. The Holy Spirit will not push you. The Holy Spirit will not pull you. The Holy Spirit will not compel you. But you have to use the Holy Spirit as it leads you to love God, to follow God, to keep His commandments, and to serve Him. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, so that it will do that. So it leads you. Now let's notice another thing here, continuing on in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. And that's what we all were before God called us, before God led us, before we were baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. We were in the spirit of bondage unto fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, and it should read here, sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, one thing the Holy Spirit does, it's very important to understand, which is this. You are able then to pray directly to God. You do not have to go through a priest. You do not have to go through a minister. You get on your knees and you pray directly to God. That's why Jesus gave the prayer in Matthew 6, which starts out, Our Father, who is in heaven. Holy is your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you have direct access to God. Now we will see when we come to the section on repentance. Likewise, you repent to God. You don't repent to a priest. You don't go to a minister. That is between you and God, and Christ is your high priest. And it puts you in this relationship with God that you are one of the children of God. Now notice what else it does here to show you how the Holy Spirit works with our spirit. The Spirit itself. Now that is a correct translation here, because in the New Testament, the Spirit comes from the Greek word to pneuma. And to pneuma is a neuter word. It is not a masculine word. If it were a masculine word indicating he or a person, it would be ho pneumos. But it is not. It is to pneuma. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, because it's united with the spirit of our mind, that we are the children of God. Now that's very important for us to understand and realize and to grasp. Now let me just mention here that we have a 55-page special Holy Spirit series study with 8 tapes that goes in depth into the question concerning the Trinity and all of the technicalities concerning why it should be it, as it is right here in verse 16, expressing itself as itself, and it should not be he or him. So if you want more information on that, then you get that in-depth study, and it will take you step by step through the aspect of the Trinity, through the aspect of what the Holy Spirit is, and all of the technical verses that we have in the gospel. So we will move on to the next section, which is the grace of God.
This tape has been brought to you by the Christian Biblical Church of God website at www.cbcg.org. And thank you for listening.